the benefits are that your body becomes more efficient at using your aerobic energy system. And so you can then maintain longer activity with less energy required.
Welcome or welcome back to the Virtran podcast, Running Long. I'm your host, Francesco Puppi, and I'm a professional athlete for Nike and also a Virtran coach. Today's guest is Parker Farabee, a trail runner, physiotherapist, exercise physiologist, and coach from Portland, Oregon. In this episode with Parker, we talk about base training and how to build an aerobic base. What are the benefits of base training? Why is it essential to increase our work capacity and improve fatigue resistance in trail running? What happens to our bodies when we're training at an easy intensity? Why is this hard, intense training not a substitute for aerobic training? These are just some of the questions we will answer in today's episode. For those of you who are new here, Virtran is the number one training app for trail and ultramarathon runners of all levels. Our mission is to make trail running accessible to everybody everywhere through affordable coaching. With your Virtran subscription, you will get a personal coach who checks in with you each week to answer your questions, adjust your training plan, and keep you accountable and inspired. In 2024, Virtran is again the official online coaching for the UTMB Mont Blanc event. That means that we have designed specific training plans for 14 different races by UTMB, including the UTMB World Series Finals in Chamonix. You can discover more on our app and unlock your best finish ever with Virtran. For those of you who want to give training with Virtran a try, you can also take 30% off your first month of training with the code RUNNINGLONG30. So here we go. Without further ado, please welcome Parker Farabee. Parker Farabee, welcome to the Running Long podcast.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Welcome back.
Yeah, it's good to be back.
It's been, we've seen each other quite often this year already. So today's topic is how to build an aerobic base, which I think is a very interesting topic for this part of the season with lots of athletes trying to get in shape, looking forward to the big races and the big projects of the summer. But of course, this is the time of the year where you really lay the foundation for the more like sexy training, as I call it, workouts and big long runs. It's the time that you should spend building your aerobic base. It's time that you should spend in the gym, getting stronger, doing prehab and all of that. So we will cover all these topics in today's conversation. I would like to start from a quote from Renato Canova, who is an Italian coach. He is a coach of some world-class marathon runners. That is, training is not what you do. It is the effect that that work has on your body. So I would like to have your comment on this phrase.
Oh, I like that a lot, actually. Because yeah, it really doesn't matter like what you're doing. It's how your body is responding to like the input that you're giving it. So it's, I mean, I guess in theory, you could just like jog in place in your living room to train for 100 miler, as long as like your heart rate gets up high enough for long enough, like that is a cardiovascular workout. So.
Exactly. I've come to the realization, and it made me think how, like when we were talking about injury and cross training, especially cross training, of course, I've come to the realization that it's not much what you do, like your body tends not to differentiate between different training stimuli. Like regardless if you're running or cycling or like jumping or swimming, whatever aerobic sport, endurance sport you may be doing, the metabolic benefit that your body is getting from that effort is pretty much the same. Do you agree?
Oh, absolutely. And it's, there's a slight difference. I know this because we did a lab on it in my yeah. undergraduate work. But there's a slight difference in like the threshold of kind of how much effort you have to do with a, like an arm-based activity versus a leg-based activity. But yeah, typically like cardiovascularly, it's going to give you the same effect.
Yeah. So despite that, there are big differences between athletes, and of course, each one has its specificity and individuality, and it's not possible to provide a one-size-fits-all training plan. I think there are some general principles of training that are worth discussing that are valid for any athlete. And one of them is that since we're doing an endurance sport, we need anaerobic base. That is like the base of the pyramid of endurance performance. So what is, like, can you describe, maybe it's worth spending a couple of words on the aerobic metabolism and then what is base training or aerobic training?
Yeah, so there's a couple different energy systems in our body. Two of them are much shorter duration, like they only last a couple minutes, so I won't get too much into those. But yeah, the aerobic system is basically like, can your body oxidize fat for energy? Like, you're not using carbohydrates, you're not using the blood sugar that's like actively floating around. You're predominantly metabolizing fat because it has there's more energy stored in the molecules. And so the importance for this is because with any like running activity, you want your body to be as energy efficient as possible. That's also why a lot of people are like doing keto and those kinds of things, because they're trying to prime their body to oxidize fat just at rest to make them more aerobically efficient. But then you can also kind of base it off of like your heart rate. Like, everybody on their watch has a heart rate monitor these days. Like, we just carry them around. And so if your heart rate is on the lower end, typically you're going to be more of like a fat oxidizing aerobic state. And then the higher your heart rate gets, you're going to switch to become more anaerobic.
Yeah. And so what is aerobic training and what are the benefits for endurance performance?
So aerobic training is basically any longer duration sustained activity. It's not going to be really intense. You're not going to do anything like full speed. And the benefits are that your body becomes more efficient at using your aerobic energy system. And so you can then maintain longer activity with less energy required. And so that's where it kind of ties back to the heart rate thing, because you can, that's just a gauge of like basically how aerobically fit you are. That's why when they talk about resting heart rate, like if you hear of people with resting heart rates in like the 40s and you're like, wow, you are just not working very hard at all to sustain life. Basically, this is like elite athletes, not like pathologic low heart rate.
Yeah.
But yeah, and then it's like you can go out for a jog, and if your heart rate stays around 110, like that's really good because your body isn't having to work super hard to like circulate blood and circulate energy. But then if you go do an all-out sprint and your heart rate's 180, like your body's working super hard and you just can't maintain that for a long period of time.
Yeah.
And the aerobic base for running is basically laying a foundation for everything more intense to come in your training. Like if you can,
exactly,
you're not going to do interval runs 5 times a week. Like it's mostly going to be that long, slow kind of just time on your feet training.
Exactly. Yeah. I wanted to specifically talk about it, because one of the benefits of base training, of course, probably the main one besides increasing your aerobic engine, is also increasing your work capacity and improving fatigue resistance so that you're able to handle more training and more intensity in a later stage of your training. So like base training should be seen, first of all, as the base of your whole training system, and also like the like what is really necessary to be able to handle more training and more intensity. Like without it, there can't be any hope of doing like a heel workout or like a sets of intervals on the track, a tempo run, or all that intense stuff, and think that all those sessions will give you the benefits that they can give you without the base training. I think it's impossible. Like it's really the base of the endurance pyramid. It's also important, and I was mentioning this thinking about training blocks and periodization, because it's very important in this part of the year, where in the northern hemisphere it's winter and we may be far away from races and the main goals of the season. So this is really the time to focus on base training and improve our work capacity and fatigue resistance, so that when we actually begin to train more specifically for a goal, say 100K, 100 mile race, so we're increasing the volume and intensity of our training, we're able to handle it, not getting injured, and getting all the benefits from that training that we can possibly get.
Oh yeah, exactly. Like winter can be so hard to train through, but it's so beneficial because in the northern hemisphere where there's snow in a majority of places, like you can't go out and do a really hard fast workout because you're either going to be slipping or like it's just not accessible this time of year. But it's also what makes training right now really fun, because you can do so many different things and it's just such a nice break from like the spring summer grind. And like,
true,
I mean, if you're the time commitment for training for a lot of these races is just so high, like you're not necessarily able to hang out with your friends or your family, or like there's a lot of time kind of by yourself training. And so winter can also be a really good time to like switch gears and like make it more fun and family oriented, or like go do some schemo with your friends.
Exactly.
Or
cross train.
Anything.
That's,
yeah.
That's why I was mentioning, like, it doesn't really matter what you're doing as long as you're achieving the right training stimulus in terms of metabolic stimulus, I think. So you can use the bike, you can go skiing. It doesn't have to be running to be aerobic training, base training. I mean, it's also worth talking about maybe like the 80-20 rule, like the 80% of our training should be easy aerobic. If we are talking about training zones, it should be zone one and zone two. And probably only about 20% should be higher than zone two, so zone three to zone five. And this is like called polarized training. Because if we don't train our aerobic system to sustain higher efforts, which are typically maybe above our lactate threshold, that is where the second type of metabolism that you were talking about starts to be predominant, we can't really sustain those efforts. And especially like we mentioned that training is mostly like the fact that the work that we're doing has on our body, we're not getting those benefits on our body if we don't have that training base, basically. So can we talk, can you talk more in detail about how to monitor intensity in our training? Because we understood that intensity is crucial, and the training zone model with the heart rate zones, maybe also mention the two, like aerobic and anaerobic threshold, that basically help us distinguish whether the effort that we're doing is aerobic or anaerobic.
Yeah. Basically with the zones, it's just a rough guideline of either like perceived exertion, which is how hard you feel like you're working, or if you have like a heart rate monitor that's really well calibrated and you're just very well trained, you can accurately base it off of like your heart rate response to exercise. But zone one and two are going to be those like really long, slow, you can have a conversation during it, like you're not pushing, but it's more about duration. And the benefit from that is you're increasing like your total mitochondrial count,
yeah,
which in turn just makes you more efficient. And so it's both the aerobic and the anaerobic work have an effect on your VO2 max, which is basically how aerobically efficient you are and like how much oxygen you can take in at different intensities of work. And so if you like go and get your VO2 max test, it kind of spits out this number of like how many liters of oxygen per kilogram. And so you don't necessarily have to go out and do a formal test. Like your smartwatch will give you an estimate based on your training. Like your phone can do it now. It's
actually, you don't even have to know it. I don't think it's that relevant to know your VO2 max. It's just a number, a parameter of your training, and it doesn't really give you an idea of how fit you are. It's also like a largely genetically determined number. So I don't think we should obsess over it, but it's important to understand that like the percentage that we use of that VO2 max is how aerobically fit we are. And this is what matters for our training mostly.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So it's when we're doing the long, slow zone two, it's you're making yourself more efficient at longer durations. And then when we're doing the high intensity, like anaerobic work, you're also then making yourself more efficient at the higher intensity stuff. So it both has a cumulative effect on like your VO2 max as a whole, which is why some people obsess over it, but it's definitely not necessary to know. That's just the overall effect that you get from training.
Yeah. it's maybe more beneficial to have an estimate of your lactate threshold, for example, and you can do that with different tests because that helps you gauge your training zone system, for example. And of course, there are different ways to do it. You can do it, for example, through your maximum heart rate with your lactate threshold. But basically, training zones, which can be usually like a 3-zone model or a 5-zone model, are a useful system to understand intensity, which I think should always be combined with the rate of perceived exertion, because I think that the ability to listen to your body is the most important thing. And it shouldn't be like your watch or your heart rate telling you how hard you're working. But first is like your body, your brain integrating all the information that comes from, you know, the breathing or like all the nerves and all the sensors that are in your body and give you the sense of effort and how you perceive it. And some scientists actually argued that that is the most important thing when it comes to training and intensity. And as the second thing, you should integrate that information with your heart rate or other data that your watch might give you. So this is to say that understanding intensity is maybe not straightforward. It's sometimes it's kind of complex, especially for not very experienced athlete, but the exercise of listening to yourself is very important, and you should not rely just on your watch or your heart rate to tell you how hard you're working.
Yeah, and that's it definitely varies person by person. Like one person's one person's zone two is another person's zone five. Like it's
for some people like for some people aerobic training and zone two maybe walking, you know. That's why, for example, walking uphill is probably a good idea for some people for certain types of session, because if you're running up a hill, your heart rate is going to increase and you're probably going to push too hard if you're doing an easy run, if you're not like super, super fit. So like it's important to understand what aerobic and zone one, zone two, or what like easy, generally speaking, means for you in your specific situation. Because also another good example, I think, is like elite marathon runners run the marathon basically at like the very upper limit of zone two. And that might be like sub 5 minute mile pace or like 3 minutes per kilometer. But of course, they can't afford to train always at that speed, even if they are technically in zone two, because for them, it's it's too fast and too hard. And like for the body, it's just not an effort that they can sustain all the time. So for those athletes, it's even more important to go easy and to pay attention to intensity, especially on easy day, because of course you can't run at 3 minutes per kilometer on an easy day. So yeah, this is just another example of how the word aerobic training or like going easy has different meanings for different athletes, different people. And it's important to understand what it means for you. Going back to RPE or the rate of perceived exertion, I think generally speaking, staying in zone two means that your rate of perceived exertion should be from 1 to 4. If you go like above 4, you're likely going to go in zone three, which is more like tempo, almost towards like threshold. So like you're above
the aerobic threshold and you're doing another type of, you're giving your body another type of stimulus. So as a rule of thumb, if you agree, we should probably stay under RPE 4 when we were doing aerobic training.
Oh, absolutely. It's more about the sustained effort than like the intensity of the effort. Like you should be able to go all day at an RPE of 4 or below, no matter what that activity looks like, because it's going to not be super taxing on your system.
Yeah.
But yeah, then once you start getting higher, like you start shifting which system you're using, and you do lose a lot of the aerobic benefits if you start getting out of the zone.
Exactly. Yeah. Also wanted to add that it's very important. It's crucial to understand that like higher intensity training, hard training is not a substitute for aerobic training. You're doing a different thing. And there can't be like hard training, zone 3, zone 4, threshold, VO2 max without the base of the pyramid, which is aerobic work, which should take up about 80% of your weekly training volume.
Yeah, exactly.
Anything else you wanted to add?
No, I think the like the 80-20 is perfect, and
it's pretty accurate. Yeah.
Really the higher zone stuff is also typically reserved, from what I found, like closer to like race day when you need to be at peak performance, then you want to start kind of challenging like the speed intensity stuff to get used to that aspect of it, but nothing will replace the base, because that's what everything goes off of.
Yeah, it's important to train like all energy systems in the right amount and at the right time of your season, like of your training cycle. Basically, it's not like you shouldn't include intensity, but you should include the right amount of intensity and the right type of intensity in your training. Also, coming back to the training zone model, it's also important to understand that these training zones are not meant to be fixed. They're like just a model, you know, that is useful in order to understand training intensity, but it's not like after a certain heart rate, you immediately switch to another energy system, or it's like there are of course nuances, and we shouldn't think about it in a compartmentalized way, basically.
Yeah.
It's much more flexible, and as everything that comes with that, that is related to physiology, we can just put fixed numbers on how we perceive effort and how we respond to training.
Yeah, and that's a big reason why the RPE is so key, because as you get stronger and in better shape, like your perceived exertion at the same activity is going to be lower. So it's a very fluid system, which is why it's so important to be able to differentiate like how you feel at different intensities, kind of week to week, month to month.
Yeah, fluid is the right word. Good. Thank you, Parker. And I hope our audience found the conversation interesting. If you have any questions, of course, feel free to ask either on Spotify, on Instagram, or just to your Bertrand coach.
Yeah, thank you. This was great.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thank you so much for listening to our great interview today. If you enjoyed this episode, please consider supporting us with a rating and a review in your podcast player, or by sharing it on social media, tagging me and Vertron. We would really appreciate that. If you haven't already downloaded the Vertron app, I encourage you to do so. There, you can connect for free with our trail runners of all levels in the Vertron community in our in-app groups. You can stay in trail shape with our free workout videos and get affordable coaching for your next trail running goal for only $25 a month. Thanks again for being here today. Until next time, I'm Francesco Puppi. Thank you for listening to Running Long.